Hi there. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Lisa Dent. It's a Friday, and we're going to talk ADHD for a minute. I am going to confess some things on the air. I have a problem. I actually enjoy doing laundry, and I love folding it, and then the clothes go into a basket, and then the basket goes into a room, and then another basket of folded clothes goes on top of that basket. And I need help. So on the line with us is psychotherapist and ADHD coach Terry Matlin. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Wendy. Thanks so much for having me.
Well,
I feel your pain.
Well, see, now it used to be my dining room table that really became a clutter pit. Everything just landed there, and I really knew where things were. I have started taking ADHD meds again, and I'll be honest with you, my dining room table for the most part has been kept pretty clean. So there is some hope out there. When I talk about this laundry stuff, it's called a floordrobe. I was reading about it in Huffington Post, and it's so completely perfect to call it that. Why do some people have problems putting laundry away?
Well, I'm going to take the context of if you have ADHD. Of course, we can see that in other mental health conditions like anxiety and depression, but my focus is on ADHD, and I think what happens is people with ADHD, number one, we all, like across the board, have a problem with something called executive functioning. And executive functioning is how we plan things out, how we start, how we finish, getting from A to B and B to C. That's something that comes natural to most people, but with someone with an ADHD brain, which I also have, it becomes very, very difficult. So it's the planning, it's the prioritizing, what do you do first? And people with ADHD tend to, I'd say also across the board, we hate boredom. So doing rote things that just never get done, you do the laundry and then it's, you know, within days you have to do it again or within the week. Same with, like doing the dishes. So it's never truly done, and we get so bored that we just don't want to deal with it, and we put it off. And then we come to another symptom of ADHD, which is procrastination. We think of all the other things we'd rather be doing, watching a TV show, playing outside with the kids, whatever it might be, and we put off and we put off doing the laundry. So there's a lot of things that play into this that we just don't think about, especially if you don't have an ADHD or an ADHD type of brain.
Now, I have two boys. They're in their early 20s, and they both were diagnosed with ADHD when they were younger, and they were both medicated for a while. Neither of them take ADHD meds now. But that's when I found out, I'm like, you know, it is hereditary, and I procrastinated. I could not do anything unless my back was up against the wall, and that's very common for ADHD people, isn't it?
It's very much so common. It's basically what we see throughout the lifespan of a person with ADHD, from kids in school who wait to the last minute to finish their projects or, you know, hand in their papers, to adults like what you're describing, whether it's laundry, whether it's cutting the grass, it's cleaning the house, it's getting our work done. It's just the anxiety about finally getting it done. We hit the wall. When we hit the wall is when we get the stimulation going in our brain, in our body, to get it done. But until then, many of us just really struggle with the procrastination part of it. I'll do it later. I can't handle it. It's too much. I'm embarrassed. Everybody else can do it. Why can't I? Until you get down to the wire, and that's when that surge of adrenaline hits. And that's why we see so many youngsters and college students who wait till the last minute to get those papers in because they know the consequences of not getting it done, and then, boom, you get it done.
What do you say to people that say, you know, ADHD is overdiagnosed, people don't really have it, they're just lazy? Because that was the most harmful adjective when I was in school. I wasn't lazy, I just didn't do things like other kids did.
And that's really a shame, and we're working. I've been in the field for over 20, 25 years, and one of the things that I try to do is destigmatize the idea that ADHD means you're lazy. There's actually an early book on the topic that you can still get called I'm Not Lazy, Stupid, or Crazy. And they talk about that, as do some more recent books. It's not about laziness whatsoever. It's about overwhelm. It's about how do I start? Where do I start? How can I get this done? And it is really sad that we've made some progress in this area, but in my opinion, not enough progress in understanding, especially people who don't have ADHD or those who do. This is just the way our brain is. We were born with this type of brain. We don't say this about other things, you know, people who, let's say, have depression or have anxiety. We don't say, oh, you're just, you know, making this up to get out of things. No, it's a brain-based situation, just like ADHD is.
And is it just a certain portion of our brain is not firing as it should? Can you explain it in layman's terms?
I can try. I'm not one that's a neurologist or a brain-based specialist. I work more in helping people work through, you know, the symptoms.
Yeah.
But there is a change in chemical, in structure. We don't have, and that's another problem, we don't have all the answers yet. Even though we've been studying this for many years, we just don't have a litmus test, a blood test that says, oh, you have ADHD. It's the way our brain is formed, you know, basically from birth. There is sometimes, you know, you can have a brain damage situation where ADHD comes on later in life, but in general, it's highly genetic, like you mentioned with your boys. And it's just something we're born with.
We are talking to Terry Matlin, psychotherapist and ADHD coach. And we're talking about ADHD. We're going to take a quick break and come back. And could you give us maybe, if you see some symptoms, mention some of those, if maybe you see that in your kid, and where do we go to get tested? Can you talk about that when we return?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Awesome. All right, Mary has a look at your weather and traffic right now. Wendy Snyder in for Lisa Dent, and we are talking about ADHD with Terry Matlin, a psychotherapist and ADHD coach. We do have a lot of texts that have come through with questions, 312-981-7200. Before we get to those, very quickly, there are some people that say, with the phones we have, with social media, and no one has an attention span anymore, it's like we all have ADHD. But that's not really true, is it?
Oh, gosh, no, not at all. But it feels like we have ADHD because now our world has become, just like you described, very quick, very fast. Our attention spans are much lower because of social media and how we can instantly get a hold of people, find information online and all that. No, I'd say that in children, the percentage of kids who have ADHD are anywhere between 7 and 11%, and in adults, about 4 to 5%. I personally think those numbers are a little low for adults.
708 wants to know, can a child pick up ADHD behavior from a parent that has it? It's a great question.
That is a really good question, and I think just like any kind of behavior, if a child or a parent has ADHD, children tend to model a parent's behavior. So they might pick up certain aspects of it, but they're not going to become ADD or become ADD-like, because a lot of kids' temperaments are actually different from the parents. So the child might be very low-key, laid-back, parent might be hyperactive. I don't think those kids are going to just automatically become hyperactive or forgetful.
Right, and I have often said that ADHD, it's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Some people don't have the H part, but it sometimes I feel like it should be called attention. I can't think of the word now. Attention surplus. It's attention surplus because,
right.
All right, for instance, the laundry that I don't want to deal with, I am now over-focused on gardening. So every night when I come home from work, I go out in the yard and garden, kind of so I can avoid the baskets that are stacked up.
Exactly, because gardening is something you enjoy. I doubt you enjoy. Well, you said in the beginning of...
I like folding laundry. But,
okay, and that might be a calming behavior for you, something that you can be doing mindlessly without having to do a lot of planning. When you look at the big picture of laundry, you have to think about it this way. You have to make decision after decision. You know, Do you put the clothes by whites and lights, or do you put it by cold water, hot water? You have to collect the laundry baskets from, you know, collecting the laundry from each person's room, and how do you sort it? Can you remember to, this is the big one that I hear from my clients, how do I remember to put the clothes that are in the washer into the dryer without finding out in 2 days that the basement stinks?
You know? Oh, yeah, mildew. I've been there, done that.
Yeah. So it's apparent that, you know, it's normal to want to be doing something that's more pleasant, even if there's consequences of not doing what we should be doing.
Another question, can ADHD happen midlife? Can it be brought on by alcohol or drug abuse?
I would say that it would be ADD-like. Typically, ADD is something you're born with. Now, in some instances, there are instances of brain damage that can bring on what we used to call it acquired ADHD. So with drug abuse and that sort of thing, that would be more of an acquired type of ADHD, not something that we generally see as kids who are born with the condition. But you see aspects of it. You see characteristics of ADHD.
And let's talk about that. If there's someone listening right now who's maybe an adult and thinks, you know what, this kind of sounds like me. I have a floor drobe. Or maybe they have kids that are demonstrating some of the symptoms. What is something that people should be looking for, Terry?
So both in kids and adults, we see kind of similar symptoms, although they play out differently. So we see a lot of procrastination, what we've been talking about with laundry. Hyperactivity and impulsivity, we generally see more in kids, more so in boys. Boys tend to externalize their ADHD behaviors. Girls tend to internalize them. And I think that's a huge problem. I wish we had more time to talk about girls and women specifically.
We'll have you on again, for sure.
Oh, I'd love to be on. So we see distractibility, poor focus, inattention, losing things. There's so many different ones. But those are the main ones.
And you should go to a psychiatrist, or sometimes psychologists have a test. I mean, there are going to be people that go online because there's an ADHD test online you can take. But what do you recommend?
I would be very cautious, because what you see online are generally screeners. And screeners can be so variable and so general, because you might say yes to all of those things and not have ADHD. You might have depression. People with depression and anxiety have very similar symptoms. Same with personality disorders and so on. My first suggestion would be, if it's a child, to go to the pediatrician. You want to rule out any possible medical reason for these symptoms. So in many cases, it could be as simple as allergies. When you are having an allergic reaction, or, you know, during this difficult summer season, you can be very distracted by the symptoms of having a stuffy nose and not being able to pay attention to your teacher. So I would start off, if you're a kid, you know, taking them to the pediatrician. As an adult, go to your primary care physician, rule out anything. It could be low or high thyroid even. So you want to do that first. Then you might ask them, all right, you know, you don't see any medical reason for this. Where do I go? And see if they have a recommendation for a mental health professional or a neurologist. I find that a lot of psychologists who specialize in ADHD are good clinicians to work with. Not all psychiatrists have that expertise, because they see a lot of things.
Yeah.
They see a lot of things. Neurologists, too. So I would kind of lean more towards specific mental health professionals and start there.
Okay, we have about a minute left, and 773 wants to know if you can explain a little bit about the shortage of Adderall and other ADHD medications in the, it's not just the Chicago area, I'm afraid.
Yeah, now there's a lot of different opinions on this. One is that there's been an explosion of online sources for getting stimulant medications through these different websites who specialize, or they say they specialize, in ADHD, and that's taken a real hit on the availability of medication. But there's a second part that I think is really important, and that's when the whole COVID pandemic hit and people were stuck at home, and they were having difficulty getting their work done because they no longer had the structure of their work environment to help them get work done. And they were getting really concerned that maybe I have ADHD. Now, a lot of them probably did, but a lot of them probably did not. So they were getting a lot of the stimulants through these online sources that took away from legitimate needs of people who have been formally diagnosed in a much better way than we generally see online.
Yeah,
and then it became difficult to get these meds. And then some restrictions at the federal level of how much of these medications could be actually manufactured.
All right. Well, thank you for all this information. We will for sure have you on again. Terry Matlin, psychotherapist and ADHD coach. Do you have a website that people can reach out to?
Yes, I'd love to talk to my people. It's addconsults.com.
addconsults.com.
Right.
Thank you so very much. We'll talk to you again, Terry. Really appreciate it. We have the news with Steve Bertrand coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. WGN.